Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We're going to continue on this area of the Holy Spirit, ministry of the Holy Spirit. What did we talk about last time we got together? Pentecost, right? Pentecostal, remember? We talked about being Pentecostal, and I told you I was Pentecostal. What do you think about that? But you see, we got to remove this idea of what Pentecostal is. Remember, what's pent? Penta, if any of you are mathematicians, it's five-sided anything, five-sided, right? Pentecost. Costi means to the 10th power. So fifth to the 10th power means 50th. That's what Pentecostal means. Pentecost means the 50th. The 50th day after Passover is the fulfillment of Pentecost. That's what we've been talking about. Now we are in that time frame. And so now that's what we're talking about, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost was the fulfillment of the original Pentecost when Moses was on Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments, he was up there getting the Ten Commandments from God, and they were all down there breaking every one of them at the bottom of Mount Sinai before he got down to show them the Ten Commandments. And then he broke them, but they broke them before he broke them because they really didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit to help them to live out the Ten Commandments. And people say today, well, you can't live by the Ten Commandments. Yes, you can. You can live by the Ten Commandments if you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about three baptisms. Baptism by water. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit when you get saved. And then you get baptized by water. And then there's a baptism that talks about Jesus baptizes you with fire and the Holy Spirit. And that's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. People see that. They get saved and then they go get water baptized. And then they see that, and that's freaky to me. That's kind of goofy. And I can understand that because I used to be that way. When I saw it, I didn't want nothing to do with it. But when I got it, when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I would never go back. And Paul said, I wish that all of you would speak and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, see? In the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, and baptized by water. That's what we're talking about today. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the power that comes upon you and remains on you to live out the life that God has called and created you for, your calling. Why is it that people get saved and then something happens that they didn't plan on it happened, and they walk away and they stop going to church and they stop doing the things of the faith because they haven't understood this baptism in the Holy Spirit? Because the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the power and the fire that keep you living the life and the call that God has called and created you for. The gifts and callings are irrevocable. They can never change. Your calling is not based on your partner, on your children, on your family, on anybody, but you doing what God has called and created you to do. And that's what happens. Something negative happens, something big happens in their life that they didn't plan on, and it moves them away from their faith. God has called us to be overcomers. Overcomers. All throughout the Bible, it says we're to be overcomers. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. It's our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, we are called to be overcomers. Overcomer is where we get the word Nike. It's the word, the Greek word, Nikos, and it means overcometh. And so that's where the Nike tennis shoes got their idea of just do it. Overcome, just do it. Well, I need some power to do that, right? But that's what the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit gives you, that power to live out the life that God has called and created you for. God has called us to walk by faith. And this is a grace gift, this baptism in the Spirit. He's called us to walk by faith. And we have overcoming faith. And our faith supersedes and overrides any organization, any event, any dilemma, any trouble, any problem, anything that the enemy would employ against us to get us out of the calling of God on our life, God has empowered us by the power of the Holy Spirit to rise above that and overcome it and live out and continue on in what God has created you for. I see too many people falling away and going by the wayside when something happens in their life. When divorce happens, or they go bankrupt, or, you know, their kids go off and do something, and then they fall away from the church. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't have to be that way. God still has a call on your life, and He still gifted you and wants to use you to fulfill that plan and purpose in your life. And when you understand this, it changes things. All right, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, this verse is talking about, what's it say? For by one Spirit we all are baptized into one body. The Spirit baptizes us into the body. One body, one Lord, okay? There's three baptisms. But now in Ephesians it says there's one Lord, one faith, one God, one body, one baptism. One, but three in one. One Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, right? Same way in baptism. You're going to see that today. When you accept Christ as your Savior and you invite Jesus in your heart, the baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place. Now the Holy Spirit does a baptism. He connects you into the body because you're saved. It's a grace work. John Wesley believed in prevenient grace. That grace is before you even got saved. That God was working even before you accepted Christ. He's moving on you to get you into the body of Christ. And this is a grace work. When that happens, now there's another place to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But a lot of people use this baptism of the Holy Spirit as with evidence of speaking in tongues. And tongues is real, and I speak in tongues, and my lead team speaks in tongues, and Paul said, I would that you would all speak in tongues. Before I had that gift, or before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I tried to live out the Christian life, and it was a struggle. Constantly defeated and struggling all the time. It doesn't mean it's going to remove them, but I need some power to live this thing out. And that's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit does. And that's what I want all of you, because I'm seeing it. I'm seeing people defeated all the time. When you understand this, the baptism of fire, Jesus said, I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. He puts a fire in your belly. He puts a desire in you, a desire that I'm going to find this plan and purpose that God has put me on this planet for, regardless. If it kills me, I'm going to do what God created me to do and what God called me to be. David said it like this. He said, one thing I have desired, that I may seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up high above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer up sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Have mercy upon me, oh God, deliver me, Father. Watch this. He could only do that because he had one desire. He had a fire in him to fulfill the plan and purpose of God on his life. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. You see that? But it didn't remain. But that's when he said that. When the Spirit came upon him is when he said that. Am I making sense? You're going to see this because, folks, listen. When you have this fire, it doesn't matter what happens in your life. You'll go to the other side of the world to figure out what it is, to get a hold of it. Whatever you got to do, you'll sell your house. You'll do whatever you got to do this. Can anybody relate to that? If you can't, you need you some fire. Because, folks, listen to me. I see too many people being defeated. And, folks, we're not called to be defeaters. We're called to be overcomers. Now, we get baptized in the body when we get saved. Then we get baptized by water. And then there's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is solid scriptural ground to believe in what I'm sharing with you today. You're going to see it, and you can't deny it because the Bible speaks it and it teaches it. You can take this to any theological institution and tell them, now help me out with this, and they'll explain it. If they are really after the truth, they'll see. This is nothing but the truth. Now let me tell you something. I have seen some fruity, flaky stuff. Now, I know none of you have. Huh? I have. And you know what? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about goofy. Because there's some goofy stuff out there. And I've watched on TV, there's some goofy stuff. I'm not criticizing things. I've just seen things that I hope that you all aren't seeing and saying, this is what Pastor Fred's trying to do. I thought this was a good church. Now he's trying. No, I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to show you something that's real and something that works for your life. And that's what this baptism in the Spirit is. It's very real. And it does work. It empowers you. It edifies you, the Bible says. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that this gift is given to edify you, to build you up. In other words, when you operate in this gift, you're being built up. You know what? I can't depend on you all the time. There's lots of times I look for something, and man, ain't nothing there. You understand what I'm saying? I love you. But I have to sometimes get by myself and pray. And I'll tell you what it does. It builds you up. But now watch this. We're not talking about everybody going to break out and everybody's going speaking in tongues. You know, just everybody is in the room and just full of it. Because you know why? The Bible says this. If an unbeliever comes in or someone who's unlearned, they come in, they see this, they think they're out of their minds. And you see, that's what we're doing. We're going to erase this, and we're going to bring balance to this. But if someone does it and there's an interpreter, that's a whole different story. Now, that'll happen. That'll happen here. And then there's an interpretation. You see this? Am I making sense? Now, go with me to Matthew 28 real quick. This is water baptism. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, that's speaking of water baptism. First you get saved, and then I'm not talking about going to heaven, because you're going to go to heaven if you're saved. You may squeak in there, but you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable and defeated. But you see, anybody who has real life and life abundantly, you see, it says in Romans 8:11, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and on you, then he will bring life and quicken your mortal body. He will change dead things in your life. That's what happens when you tap into this. Now, go with me to Matthew 3:11. We're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures today. So I really want you to see this. I'm really trying to bring understanding into this area because we're in the season of Pentecost. I'm trying to help people understand. But I remember early on, I saw some of this and, you know, visited some churches and I thought, man, I don't want that. See, I'm afraid that's what happens is people get saved and water baptized and they see this and they, that's, I don't want that. You see that? That's what the enemy does. He wants to twist it and make it look like it's not of God. You ever heard, well, speaking in tongues is of the devil? I want to tell you, you remember going into bars? I do. I never heard one tongue spoken in the bars. If it was of the devil, boy, they'd all be in there babbling in tongues, wouldn't they? But you go in there and you start speaking in tongues and watch them old devils start flying out of there. I'm not saying do that. Only if the Holy Spirit leads you, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Matthew 3:11. This is John the Baptist. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Water baptism. But he who coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will, what? With what? And fire. You see that? Grammatically and theologically, just for what I've shown you, there's two different subjects. The first one was in 1 Corinthians 12:13, Holy Spirit. This one here, subject is Jesus. Jesus does this baptism in the Holy Spirit with fire. John's gospel, John chronicled the first 2 years of Jesus' ministry. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels. Synoptic means similar. They're similar to John's gospel, but you won't find the woman at the well being taught in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, only in John's gospel. But in all the gospels, you find the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But guess what else you find in all the gospels? Baptism in the Spirit. That shows how significant it is. All right, go with me to real quick, Mark 1:8. Has anybody ever seen anybody that's confessed to be a Christian and something happens in their life and they just slip away? It didn't work out the way they planned. Am I making sense? Anybody in this room, something happened that it didn't work out the way you planned? That's why we need what I'm talking about to go on and fulfill what He's called and created you for. It's not dependent on somebody else. It's dependent on what you do with what God has called you to. And that plays out in the body of Christ. You have to be connected in the body. Mark 1:8. I indeed baptize you with water, but He will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said that. That's a Baptist brother saying that. Anybody ever read D.L. Moody's autobiography? D.L. Moody was a Baptist brother, and his ministry was stagnant. It wasn't going anywhere, and he didn't know what to do. Well, these two old ladies came into his church and joined the church, and they said, "We're going to pray for you that you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit." He says, "Well, pardon me, but I've already got that when I got saved." That was his thinking, because he hadn't seen it yet. So they continued to pray, and he ended up receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And his church began to grow. His ministry grew. Now he has a Bible college in Chicago you can go to for free. He was a heavy hitter in the spiritual realm, in Christianity. His ministry went to another level when he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, go with me to Luke 3:16. John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with what? The Holy and what? And fire. Passion." You see that? Now, go with me to John 1:33 real quick. "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" Talking about Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit descended and then remained on him. That's what happens when you are baptized in the Spirit and it remains on you in order to empower you to live the life that God has called you to. There's a fire. There's a passion. Now go with me to Luke 24:49. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry," that word tarry means wait, "tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." He says, tarry until you are endued with power from on high. You know what he's saying? I want you to wait before you really get into ministry. There's a promise of something that's going to come upon you, and that's what he's talking about. In other words, Jesus' last words weren't go, they were wait. Go with me to Acts 1:4-5. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for what? The promise." Remember the promise from the Father on high, watch this, "of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." You see, John baptized with what? They were saved, they were believers, but now there's a Holy Spirit work. Most of the time you don't get saved and then water baptized all at the same time. Most of the time you get saved and then we're doing water baptisms on the 23rd of May. It happens, you know, in sequence. And that's kind of the way it is. And then God does another work in the baptism in the Spirit. Now watch this. Go with me to Acts 2:37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" In other words, they were saying, what shall we do? What shall we do? We want what you got. What do we need to do to have what you got? That's what they say. "What shall we do?" "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of his sins.'" See, repent is what happens when you get saved, and then you're baptized into Jesus, the body of Christ, by the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." For the promise. What promise? The promise from on high. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will" what? "Will call." He's called every one of us. The gifts and callings are irrevocable. You need what I'm talking about to fulfill the calling of God on your life. I'm not talking about just getting to heaven. I'm talking about fulfilling the calling on your life. Go with me to Acts 8. Now let's look at verse 5 and 6. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, go with me to verse 12. But when they believed, when you believed, Jesus said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. When they believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. See, they're baptized with water, and they're baptized into the body. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive what? Now they're already saved. They're already water baptized. Do you see this? For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see that? Now, go with me to Acts 19. And let's look at verse 1 through 5. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, that would mean there were believers, followers of Jesus, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. You see, they went to the same church I was going to years ago. Nobody ever really told me about it. That's why I want to make sure you all hear about it, that you understand it. Because folks, when you understand this, you know what? People get so wore out with the task and every day, and they actually slip away from really using what God has really helped them with. And they stop engaging that. You know, the church is being moved, and this economic system is really just causing the church to be what it was supposed to be all along. It's not just shaking the kingdom and the devil's doing. No. He's really calling the church to be what it was supposed to be all along. Victorious. Overcomers, right? When you're an overcomer, you're overcoming something. When you overcome something, something's happened that otherwise, right? You know what? The reason they had overcomers is because they used that term overcomer in sports. And when you were in competition, you became an overcomer when you won. You see, we're in competition with the world. And the world system is trying to overcome you and keep you in the dark about the things of God. But God wants you to be in the light, and he wants you to be an overcomer. Now look at this. Verse 3. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. I'm going to challenge you to be pursuing this all week long, because I want you to understand this. As you pursue this and as you seek this and that fire begins to stir up in you, you're going to see there's a passion that you haven't been tapped into that's in you, that God wants to show you something. You're water baptized, and in Romans 6 it talks about death, burial, and resurrection of the water baptism. And then what happens is, people just, that's all the farther they go. There's no baptism in the Spirit to live out the new life that they stepped into by becoming a believer. And that's what we need. We need the baptism in the Spirit to empower us to live out the life God has created us for. Now, go with me quickly to Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to show this to you in the Old Testament, the same concept. How many of you know the Old Testament uses types and what? Shadows of things to come. Now look. This is what this is. This is a type of salvation. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, who? Abram. A-B-R-A-M. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. What's he saying there? This is a type of salvation right here. He's saying, get away from your family. How many of you know, sometimes you got to get away from your family. Well, I want to be around my family. Well, let me tell you something. Your family sometimes can keep you from what God has called and created you for. You're too busy trying to please them and trying to appease them and be like them. That will actually keep you out of what God created you for. That's what he's talking about. God has something for you. Sometimes you got to get away from them because they can keep you back, because there is a stronghold of you trying to love that person that was you deemed the most important before you were born again. And when you're born again, now it's God. And now you have to renew your mind to him. Not mama, not dad, not grandpa, not grandma, God. And that's where the problem is. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to look at a type of baptism now. Genesis 15, 17. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with who? Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of Euphrates. Now think about this. This is a type of baptism. They would sacrifice that animal, they would cut it down the middle, and then the covenant, you would walk through it, and this was a type of baptism. The smoking oven represented God, the Father, and the torch represented the Son. This is a type. And so this passing through was the baptism, covenant. The Bible is strong on covenant. Marriage is a covenant. When you get married, you're supposed to stay married forever. When you're in the covenant of God, when you make a covenant with, it says it's better for you not to make a promise at all than to make a promise and go back on it. God is a covenant God. The old covenant, that's what the Old Testament is, and the new covenant. He's a covenant God. God says, you do this and I'll do that. You do this and I'll do that. That's the way a covenant works. So this baptism, you pass through. Now watch. What about when the Red Sea? Remember when they passed through the Red Sea? The Red Sea parted and they passed through. That was baptism. Now think about this. Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be what? Abraham. You know what God did there? He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He added an H to his name. You know what an H in Hebrew is? It's the Hebrew word ruhuah, ruhuah. It means spirit. So God added the spirit to Abram, to Abraham. Abraham is our spiritual father. You see that? In Galatians chapter 3, Abraham is our spiritual father. Go with me now to verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. See? She's now spirit. What do? He removed the I and put in the spirit. That's what a lot of us need to do. We need to get rid of the I and let the spirit in. Are you with me? And that's really what happens. When you are truly in the spirit and baptized, you know what? You're no longer concerned about yourself. If you ever notice people that have been hurt deeply and wounded in life and offended, they're always self-preservation. And they'll hurt other people. They'll fly off the handle and say negative things and hurt people all the time because they're not in the spirit. But when you're in the spirit, you're concerned about other people because you know what you do and your words and everything, it affects, has rippling effect on your children, your grandchildren, and the people around you. That's what the spirit is up to. He wants influence in your life. And that's what he wants to do. But if you're willing to answer that call, that spirit, he's going to use you as a person of influence in the spirit.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.